We're speaking along the same lines as the movie. We're going to start at verse 17. But before verse 17, it talks about how the sick was being healed. And that people were bringing their loved ones out to where when Peter would walk down the street, his shadow might fall on them so that they would be healed. I've entitled this sermon, The Unstoppable Church. The Unstoppable Church. Now, what is the church? It's not bricks and mortar. We are the church. And we are unstoppable. Not because we're so mighty. Not because we're smarter than everybody else. But it's because the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God. God ordained the church. God ordained the church. And when God ordains something, it goes. It fulfills its purpose. Let me tell you, all across this world, it's just my fat rolling up on the... I guess it is. I don't know. Does this need to go higher or lower? I know. Stay tuned for a station break. How difficult is it to learn that job back here, Mitch? Think an average old Joe can learn that job? Maybe. Have you taught other people? So it's not beyond anybody. I don't guess you need any help back here, do you? I see the two same faces back there week after week. Some of you probably have been praying, Lord, what can I do in church? Same two guys. Men, I think, have a especially hard time finding a place sometimes, what they can do in church. Got two men back there right now. Does it mean only men can work back there? Nope, Layla did it before him. Guys, can we get those two guys out of there? How long has it been since you sat by your wife, Mitch?
I stuck to her last week for a minute.
Did you? That's not the sermon, by the way. But since we had a moment. Amen. Turn to your Bibles, Acts chapter 5. I did record that. I did type it out. So if you don't have your Bible today, you can look at the screen. Acts chapter 5, verse 17 says, Then the high priest rose up, and all those were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. I underlined, rose up, and filled with indignation. This has not been a pleasant week for the Kelleher home. Satan has rose up and filled people with indignation. Doesn't surprise us. When you serve God, Satan is going to rise up in people that maybe you don't even expect it in. What's our job? To walk in love all the time. He says in verse 18, And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison door and brought them out, and said, Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to prison to have them brought. And when the Officers came and did not find them in prison. They returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely, but the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So no one came and told them, saying, look, look, the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple and they're teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered him and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And God, the God of our fathers, raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on the tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Father God, we just come before you today, thanking you for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. Thanking you for your word, which is still alive, still moving, and still opening up our hearts so that we can receive what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. I pray, Lord, from the youngest to the eldest, Lord, that the Spirit of God would speak to their heart and bring the deliverance that they need to receive life in Jesus' name today. I thank you. I pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 The unstoppable church. These guys were thrown into prison because they were robbing the 7-Eleven and they were caught red-handed. You gonna let me say anything? They were thrown into prison because they were doing exactly what I'm doing today, except not behind closed doors. They were preaching Jesus Christ. And they were imprisoned for that. And sitting in a prison cell that night, they got a visitation from the Lord. An angel of the Lord came and unlocked the cell. And he gave them strict instructions. And he says, I want you to go to the temple and preach. And I loved what he said. He said, preach all the words of this life. They wasn't doing bad. They were praying for people to be healed. They were teaching and doing great things. I would think in my small mind that people would be applauding them. But the representative of the man of God, indignation rose up in his heart. But it had to. Because he's the one that said, crucify him. Now all of a sudden, you got people saying, he is God. You got a problem. And they asked these guys, did we not tell you? Didn't we command you quit preaching this? And they said, do we obey man? Or do we obey God? It is very likely, highly probable, that America is coming to a day when you may break the law to do what God has told you to do. I just have a couple of words for you. I'll visit you in jail. No. comforting. Go with God.
Yes.
You go with God. Whatever the cost, go with God. Because I don't know if you saw the title of this church or this sermon, but the title is The Unstoppable Church. I'm going to tell you, whatever God anoints and God ordains, God prospers. And God will see it to the finish. So when God puts His hand on an organization, it's going to go well. When God puts His hand on a man's life, it's going to accomplish its purpose. He said, preach all the words of this life. Those words just kept going over and over and over and over in my mind. Preach all the words of this life. I think, what are you talking about? Preach all the words of eternal life. Preach John 10:10, that Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. Preach that I will bring deliverance. Preach that I will heal, that I will forgive. Preach the words of the eternal life, that there's a better day coming. That God will lead you out of despair into hopefulness. You don't have to live that way any longer. Man, that song touched my heart. The chains are broken. The sin is gone. Hallelujah. Don't ever get so mature and so old in Jesus that you forget that He has forgiven you of your sins. There's no greater day. Hallelujah. I love that Peter was so politically correct. Well, sir, kind sir, high priest. He said, you murdered the Messiah. Wow. I mean, I think that we couldn't take a stake and drive it through someone's heart without more offense than that. Do you? You know, before there's ever going to be change in your life, you've got to accept that you've done wrong. We live in a society that wants to blame everybody else for their problems. Well, my mom and dad. You're 64 years old. Quit crying about mom and dad. Right? It's society's fault. Well, you're partially right. It's sin. It's sin. And you were a sinner. I pray today you're not a sinner any longer. That you're a saint. That you have been forgiven. But let's own up to us. Can we? Can we finally say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I am one of those all. Amen. God calls us many times to do what seems to be impossible. And in truth, it probably is impossible. If you could accomplish God's goal in your life, He would not call you to do it. He calls you to do something that's greater than you. Are you with me today? He calls you to get out of your comfort zone. He calls you to do something that it's only you're going to be able to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. If we could accomplish it without Him, we would do it. And today, all over the world, you have people conducting services and having church without God. Why? Because they have found that they can do it alone. And maybe you can't. Maybe you can lead a song without Him. But you cannot touch a heart without the Holy Ghost. You cannot break this Bible open and let it touch somebody and heal somebody's hurts without the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, you might be able to preach a sermon. I've heard great speakers. I've heard people that could move us immeasurably. I've seen people speak to where literally could create like a mob. People were so excited or so moved by the power of their speech that they wanted to do something. But Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You know what he's talking about? We use that verse many times when we're witnessing to people, talking about salvation. That's not a salvation verse. That's a verse to the church. He's saying, pastor, song leader, church board member, will you open the door to your church so that I can come in? There's not a man alive that can change another man's life. But there is a God that can change. There's a God that can take a life that I don't care how bad you've ruined it, and He can put it back together again. Jeremy and Dacia are here, or they was here. I think they slipped out. But I think yesterday, Friday, they celebrated their 12th anniversary. A few years ago, they called us and said, we need help. And we met with them a few times. And God healed a marriage. I'm telling you, every time that we see that Dacia and Jeremy have gone another year, we applaud heaven. We applaud what God has done. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor of a church, I've thought, dear God, what am I doing? I was a pretty decent businessman, but a preacher? I ain't ever claimed to be a preacher. Dear God. I can remember thinking, God, what if all of them go to hell? Man, this is some serious stuff. It's like heart surgery every week, you know? It scared me from running. I knew God was calling me to pastor for years. I just didn't want to. Lord, call somebody else. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. I can't tell you how many times when we sat down to counsel somebody that their life is literally falling apart, I think, why do I know? Come on, does that bear witness with anybody? What do I know? What can I say to help somebody save a marriage? What can I say to somebody that just buried their child? Most people look at the ministry and say, boy, that must be glorious. I go to a place every day where I work with a bunch of heathens. That's easier. Because when you all preachers got to wear this black. I noticed Danny wore the black shirt. See, we got to wear the black shirt if you're going to be a preacher. We leave off the white collar, but we... When people come to you, they're at their lowest. They're distraught. Their life is falling apart. Oh, but God, I don't have the keys to life. People ask me all the time, how'd you raise such great boys? And I think, I don't know. I don't try to make it up even. Kept them in church. My goodness, I think there's great wisdom in that. Kept them in the throne. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, most all of us know this verse. It says, for I know the thoughts or the plans that I have, that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Most of us know that verse. Most of us know that God's got a plan for my life. But we never read the next couple of verses. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. God does have a plan for your life, but you'll never know it until you seek Him. You'll never find out what the plan of God is until you get serious. Say, God, I remember what. I'm an old man now, but I remember what it's like to be your age. And the world tells you, oh, you got all this stuff. You can choose. There's things that you could do. And let me tell you, you'll not be happy until you find out, and I mean this, what God wants you to do. And do that. Now, your moms and dads may say you can do anything you want to do in life. And I just want to correct them. Because you can't do anything you want to do. You can do what God wants you to do. And do it with all your heart. And you'll do it well. Do you have to? Nope. You can run from it. You'll never find total joy and total peace until you walk the steps that He has called you to do that. And I will guarantee you that it will scare you. Guarantee you it will take you out of your comfort zone. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you, He will complete it. I cannot tell you how many times I've lived on that verse. How many times in the middle of the night when it seems like your world is falling apart, to say, I remember when I was 7 years old. I remember going to an altar one day. And I know that I know that I know that You put Your hand on me.
Amen.
And I know what the Word says. And I am also confident of this. That He who began a good work in me, He will complete it. And I don't care what the world says. And I don't care what comes against me. With the hand of God on me, I will accomplish His purpose. Guys, you got to know it. I'm telling you, you may be sitting in this service today, and this is what I felt as I was worshiping the Lord. There are so many people here that are discouraged in the Lord. You've had a hard week, a hard season, a hard year, maybe a hard decade. And I'm telling you, I believe by the power of the Holy Ghost, He wants to break off that discouragement. He wants you to realize we are an unstoppable church. And I'm not talking about Bridge of Hope. I'm talking about the church of the kingdom of God. It's not Assembly of God. It's not Catholic. It's not Baptist. We have no name other than we are the church. And we are unstoppable. Why? Not because we're great, but because He is great. I'm telling you, you may feel like one day that the gates of hell have come at your door. And I got news for you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. Greater is He that's in you than's at the door. Greater is He that's in you that's in that letter. Greater is He that's in you when the police comes to your door and gives you bad news. Greater, greater, greater is He. Don't you ever forget that God has placed His thumbprint on you. We are created in His image. But better than that, He lives in me. The power of the Spirit of God resides within us. Courage is not the absence of fear. I can't tell you how many times I'm scared. I've been scared many times. You don't raise three boys. What do you got, seven kids back here? The eighth one's in the oven. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know you would agree with me. There's times when fear creeps in. When you're raising children, did I make the right decision? Am I teaching them what's right? I feel the same way every time I stand in this pulpit. Am I giving them the words of life? Am I going to give them what it's going to take to make heaven their home? Guys, if you don't think I take that serious, you're in the wrong church. Find somewhere else to go. I take it very serious. Whether you make heaven or whether you bust hell, did I give you what you need? So I stick close to the Word. God empowers us with the Holy Spirit to be unstoppable. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Everyone wants to be on the winning team. I mean, I don't know that I've ever been on a winning team other than the church. We moved around a lot when I was a little kid. And the most embarrassing moments is when two guys stand up in front of the school and they start choosing teams. And you and one other girl was the last ones to be voted. And she's in crutches. God's team's not like that. We are the winning team. Most people want a hot tip when they're thinking about buying stock. Can you tell me what's it going to do? I can give you a hot tip. You go with Jesus. Don't ever turn your eyes off of Him. I don't care what you go through. I don't care what goes through that little brain of yours. You stick with Him. Stick with Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. I said in Sunday school, it's easy to get excited when everything is going right. It's easy to see the hand of God when the checks are rolling in. When all is well, your kids are healthy, and just things are just going good. It's hallelujah, bless the Lord. But can you see the hand of God when things not so well are happening? But oh God must have left me. No. You don't know your word very well if you want to argue with me that God left you. God says, I'll never leave you. I don't care what you're going through. When you walk through the water, I'll be there. When the three Hebrew children went into the fire, the fourth man was there with them. When Daniel went to the lion's den, he was there. When Nehemiah faced his worst fear, Jerusalem had been burnt. He goes to his home place, the city that he loves, the city of God. The city where every Jew would worship. And it's in ashes and it's rubble. And Nehemiah looks at this wonderful city and thinks, I'm a cupbearer to the king. What do I know about building walls? And then here comes Tweedledee and Tweedledum, Sanballat and Tobiah. Because I'm going to tell you, all of us has got Tweedledee and Tweedledum. I hope you didn't marry them. But you got a Tweedledee and a Tweedledum in your life. Somebody that just wants to come before you and accuse you. Somebody that wants to come in your life and tell you how unworthy you are. How ill-prepared you are. How unqualified you are. I got news for you. God wouldn't place His hand on you if you were unqualified. God saw something in you. Man may not see it, but God sees it. What you need to do is tell Tweedledee and Tweedledum to take a hike. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm here doing a task that I don't know how to do. But God had given me the strength and God had given me the wisdom. He rebuilt the walls around the entire city, I think, in 52 days. Oh, but he must have had a lot of carpenters. No, he had jewelry makers and things like that. Say, hey, you know, I'll help you build a wall. Well, what do you do for a living? I make jewelry. Oh, great. Yeah, well, I'll use you. Yeah, just come back in a couple days, would you? Where are my stonemasons? Now, they were all killed. Where are my carpenters? They went with Daniel and the three Hebrew children to Babylon. Use what you got. Nehemiah. Don't you think the Lord would say the same thing to you? Quit looking at your life telling yourself what you don't have. And start looking at your life saying, what do I have? Let's take an inventory of what I've got. And you say, well, I ain't got nothing. Shame on you. Because God doesn't create junk. You need to examine your heart a little closer. Because God saw something so valuable in you that He gave His life to redeem you. Amen. We are the church. The unstoppable church. Now see, you guys can choose anything that you want to choose. I've had some conversations with you. I know what you got in your mind. And I love the military. Bless Him, Lord. Bless Him, Lord. But you don't see it. You don't see the anointing of God on your life. You don't see how everybody wants to be with Tanner. Can you be a Marine? You can. But can you be a minister? You better think hard about that. You better go with God. It's really easy. To see what the world sees. You're in shape. I want to see the world. I want to do this. But what does God see when He looks at you? What has God instilled in you so deeply that it is the Tanner? See, there may be a day. Dave Reaver had a day in Vietnam. Where a bomb took his face off. He said he was so worried about when his wife came in to see him and this part of his face was gone. The guy right before him, his wife came in, took her wedding ring off and said, I can't be married to you. You're an embarrassment to me. He died a couple days later. Dave Reaver's wife comes waltzing in. And he says, I'm so sorry. Look at me. She said, oh, Davey, you ain't ever been good looking. I didn't marry you for this. I married you for this. You see, when your home is built on the rock, when your life is built on Jesus, you can go through the storm. And you will go through the storm. But as long as you cling, listen to me, as long as you cling with all your heart to Jesus Christ, you are an unstoppable force. You and Jesus. Doesn't mean you're not going to have some hard way, but it does mean you're going through. Just to confirm that, he put a little verse in the Bible called Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Shay saw herself for years as a factory worker, but God didn't see that. God saw something greater. Let's go with God's plan. Can we go with God's plan? Don't marry anything that says yes. Well, she looked at me twice. I think I'll marry her. She smiled and she's got all of her teeth. That was always a prerequisite for me. Thank God. I did have some standards. God will never fail us. Gamaliel was the guy who stood up, part of the Sanhedrin. He spoke so much wisdom to these other guys. He says, if their purpose or their activity is of human origin, it will fail. The same thing could be spoken over us. What you do with your power and with your anointing, with your ability, it's going to fail. But if it's from God, you'll not be able to stop these men. You'll only find yourself fighting against God. Wow. Can you personalize that just a little bit? Sanballat and Tobiah, they came against Nehemiah, but they wasn't coming against Nehemiah. They were coming against God because Nehemiah was doing God's work. You see, when a man finds the plan of God for his life, and when he puts his hand to the plow, and he starts, boy, I'm talking Christianese, ain't I? When he starts on that path that God has got for his life, he starts doing God's will, not his will. Your enemies is not your enemy. Your enemy is God's enemy. And God will fight your battle for you. Nothing will stop us. If my task is God called and God inspired, then no one will be able to stop me. The church is God's idea. The church is unstoppable. You are the church. Nothing can stop you from accomplishing what God has called you to be and to do. The unstoppable. Do we have an enemy? We have an enemy. We have someone that wants to thwart the plan of God. But I'm telling you, the plan of God will prevail in your life. Because you are the church. What is my responsibility in that? Persevere. Keep your hand to the plow. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. It's very possible that maybe life has thrown you a curveball. Maybe you've swung at strike three. The game's not over. As long as you draw breath, the game is not over. God's plan will be accomplished in your life. Stand with me. Amen. Treva, come on up. Two words the Lord spoke to my heart as I was standing up there. Break discouragement. Break discouragement. Say, Eric, how can you break discouragement? Discouragement is a spirit from the devil. Discouragement is to take your courage. So that before you ever put your hand to the plow, you give up. Well, I can't do that. Remember Moses? God, you're calling a stutterer. You know, when we make excuses to God, it's like, I created you. I think I know what you are. You're just quoting the obvious. Every one of us has got an excuse, don't we? It's time the church gets to work. It's time we ready ourselves to fulfill the plan of God. know the spirit of discouragement walked in the doors. And I take authority over that spirit in Jesus' name. And the Lord told me that I have the right to bind up, to cast out, and to loose. So in Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of discouragement and I loose the joy and the power of the Holy Ghost over your life. I loose hope in Jesus' name because hope is found in Him. And I just want to speak a word from the Lord to you that says you can do it. You hear me? You hear me? You can do it. If God has called you to do it, you can do it. That sounded like the water boy. Oh, dear Jesus. You can do it. Dear Jesus, Hail Mary, full of grace, by the way. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. How are you going to accomplish the goal? Staying close to Jesus so that you walk in that joy. Walk in the joy and the power of the Holy Ghost. Some of you, I know some of you, you don't have that joy this morning. It's been a while. It's been a while since you felt the joy of the Lord. And it's not God's desire. We read a verse in Sunday school that says, I'll create a river in a desert. Are you in a desert place this morning? Because God's digging a waterway. God's digging something in your life. He said, I'm bringing you water this morning. I can create things to grow in your life again. Are you hearing me today? Guys, I told the Sunday school class, I said, I don't have one line to speak today. I don't have one thing on this paper that I knew that I was going to say today other than we are unstoppable. We can do all things through Christ. Pastor Ray, you come on up here. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I know there's many here. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord? Close your eyes. Dear Jesus, you know those that have walked in with that spirit of discouragement on their life. I ask now that your Holy Spirit breaks that demonic spirit off of them. I pray in Jesus' name that as we leave, the power and the joy of the Holy Ghost leaves with us. And I pray that we've got a healthy dose today, that the power of the Holy Ghost will help us accomplish anything that you have called us to do. Man may not see our ability, but we know you see it. I pray the Spirit of God would settle down upon these people and empower them to be unstoppable. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.